Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples, make more happen. Right now, Staples 16-gigabyte flash drives are just $5.99.
Offer valid while supplies last. Limit 5 per customer. Ends 8/29/15.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
Took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. By some, he's been called controversial.
How can I convince you when your ears refuse to hear? You turn your heart away from me each time that I draw near. Your eyes refuse to meet with mine, they glance away in fear. As if you should not look at your reception in the fear.
Now, keep in mind that some of my guests have been approached by Homeland Security or FBI saying, why are you going on the Clay Douglas show?
My message to those guys, if they're listening this morning, is go get a cup of coffee. Maybe you'll learn something.
We both took the same oath, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't recall there being an expiration date on that.
Well, it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain? Why should I wait?
He is the free American, Clay Douglas. Catch the free American weekdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Every time I think about the damage that's been done, anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do you ever throw all the food back on the only one?
For the podcast and more details, visit www.freeamerican.com or catch the podcast by phone by calling 832-999-8621.
So many forces are confronted by eternity. Like many beasts who thunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American. I'm your host. I am Clay Douglas. And I may have to change my theme a little bit and add in, some of my guests have been threatened by the FBI, and some have just been threatened by thugs with guns. My guest today will tell us about that, Paul Pantone. Welcome to the Free America.
Hey, how are you doing, Clay?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. But it seems like here's one of those things. Well, what do you want first, the good news or the bad news?
Well, let's start with good news. And then we'll tell them the big punchline here. But the good news is our heaters are being built over in Ireland right now. They're beautiful. These digester heaters will heat your entire home or your bigger buildings if you like to build bigger. And it costs about $100 a year to operate. Wow, that could get people going. Well, our school over there is going to also be opening in about a week or two. And our team from England is going over this week to meet, and they're going to be comparing notes and sharing technology. Each group I have around the world, each dealer, I've turned them on to one different part of the geek technology and how it ties to different things. So we have different people working on different projects, like putting together a car unit, and one for big generators in Australia. He's working mainly on heating systems and huge facilities where they need to cut their fuel bills or pollution. Some of the fuel bills he's looking at are over $1 million every quarter. So we're getting into some substantial modifications to equipment that will get your attention. Now, the other good news is the Book of DEET is done. We have the Basic Book of Science, which is ebook, or you can get it in paperback, or you can get the deluxe version, which comes complete with the automotive plans and the small engine plans and all the help you need to get it on three pieces of equipment. And then after that, you're on your own unless you want to buy additional licenses. Now, that book is also going to be autographed. So if you want that autographed to you, your kids, your grandkids, it can be made out any way you want by me on the inside, signed, and it'll be a numbered edition because we're not printing that many of them. Science books don't go over that big. For some reason, people would rather buy sports things, Victoria's Secret things, things like that. This is not entertainment. This is knowledge.
Anybody got
want
a
to know why things work.
Anybody got a signed Tesla book? I would think it'd be a
I don't know.
Signed Paul Pantone book would be worth a lot of money. I just hope you got my nail right in the Bronco. Got a nice picture.
Well, now let's go into worth a lot of money. Well, from the time I met you 35 years ago till now,
I'm sorry. I just don't feel that old, but go ahead.
Oh, use your fingers. I do. No, wait. There's still 25 and 30 year olds. Okay. Never mind. back to the gist of it here. Right after you and I met, one big guy there in California came in trying to con me out of my company. And we told him, get the heck off the property and don't come back. We went on TV in 1985, and we got 100 death threats. The state of California did not like what we were doing, and none of the oil companies did either. By 1990, we got more threats. When they found out we had zero pollution, and we videotaped it, and we put it up all over the country, nobody liked the zero pollution, and 25, 30 times your mileage from coast. They want to refine it and make all the other products and waste product, which they call gasoline. And when they can't sell it, they burn it off the refinery. So that was the last time we had big threats. We kind of stayed low under the radar until about 1997, 98. I started getting all the trade shows, and we had more and more threats. We had a couple of attempted takeovers of the company. Once in Colorado there, they poisoned my wife and made it look like I did it. Finally got the proof. After I left Colorado, went back to Utah, we finally got the proof who did it. But the cops wouldn't do anything. I got robbed 3 or 4 times over there in Utah. The cops wouldn't even come out and take a report. That's pretty bad.
Now, how about this latest attempt? Didn't the cops
put
on that either, would they?
No. The sheriff said, this should be a lot bigger. You should get a hold of the state police. And they said, why don't you get a hold of FBI? And the FBI said, you know what? You might try Homeland Security. And I was like, but it's been 2 weeks today that I got robbed and thrown out of my home and everything I had was stolen. And you people won't even take a damn written report? What is wrong here? Well, obviously, I haven't gone up far enough on that chain of command because this couldn't have been just cops. This had to be some idiot trying to take over DEET again. And they sent 4 idiots out to do this robbery, holding a gun and a hammer on me, saying, if you move, we're going to bust your skull, break your fingers, shoot you. And as crazy as they seemed, I figured I better go along with their game if I want to get out of there alive. And I'll tell you what, when you're somebody's tacking all your stuff up and carrying it out the door as fast as they can, and you know it took 3 U-Hauls to move it all in, they're trying to move it all out in one, they're going to have to come back for the rest. And I couldn't figure out why, the approach they used. But they got the big equipment that represented DEET out off the property. After the truck left, the one guy in charge that was left behind with a gun on me told me that the reason they came the day they did was to stop me from publishing my book. Because if I could get copyright protection on it before the patent ran out, then I would have protection. If they could stop the book from coming out, then they wouldn't be able to steal Geet. At that point, I looked at him and said, Geet's already out. It's published. He said, you're kidding. No. He said, we're still stealing everything. And now you've got to pull your website down and go out completely, or we're going to kill you and your family.
Did this issue you any identification?
Oh, no, hell no.
Okay.
I've never seen a cop show me identification or show that even. But when they came out and Molly was poisoned there in Utah, I called 911 and said, my wife is on the couch. She looks like she's in a coma or going into some kind of convulsions or something. And we need help. The ambulance showed up. The police showed up. And there were four or five cops there immediately. And I wasn't allowed to get near my wife again when the EMTs were there. They said her blood pressure was going sky high and then dropping, going sky high and dropping. They didn't know what it was. They didn't even know what to do to treat her. They said, let's just get her to the hospital. And in the meantime, the cop asked me for my ID, and the minute he radioed it in, he closed his report book, handed me back my license, and I stayed. I said, well, aren't you going to investigate this? He said, no, sir. There's nothing to investigate. I said, there's been an attempted murder. She's been poisoned. And there's some sunglasses sitting right outside the door. I'm sure they'll have fingerprints on it. So will that door handle. The cop went over with his gloves on, grabbed the door handle and twisted back and forth. He said, I'm sure there's no fingerprints on there now, sir. And he picked the glasses up, put them in his pocket, and said, I must have drawn off those. Well, the glasses that were out there were prescription glasses that belonged to a couple of guys trying to steal the company. So I got the picture. You're not going to win in this country unless you got the right guy on your side. So I think Trump hit it on the head the other day when he was doing his rants and raves during the debate and said, for enough money, you can buy any politician.
I believe
if you want them to do you a favor, you give them money, and they do you a favor. Pay them what's going to cost you. Well, let's see how much money is donated by oil companies to politicians. A lot. So we're trying to teach people with the book. Since we couldn't open shops in the United States, every time we tried to, they got shut down. Now, our dealers were threatened several times. So instead of going that route, we're just teaching the public. They can buy the book now, $29.95. Classes used to cost $5,000, and people still paid to come. So we're lowering the price on the classes in the foreign countries back to $2,500, and we got people signing up fast. A lot of people didn't even want to come to America to learn. They said, if you'll teach in another country, we'll go there, but we don't want to go to America. That's pretty sad. If you don't remember well that first meeting you and I had on Make This in America, and I want the profits to stay in America. Yeah. I don't want to give these jobs to the Mexicans or the Chinese or any other country. If they want to build them, they can build them for their own country and keep them there and use that profit in their country so that everyone can have a better life. But I don't want to start promoting other people in their country and take away jobs from here. I wanted to create jobs. And since GEET is such a wide range, it fits everything that uses fuel. That's every piece of equipment out there. If we could start heating buildings for $100 or $200 a year and supplying electricity for $50 a month instead of $1,000 a month, there'd be a lot of people standing in line for it if the government didn't stop it.
We don't have to pay for these refineries down here in Texas that were kind of around the corner up on the freeway to the right. There's a whole big refinery turning oil into gasoline. You would put them out of business. Pretty much.
Well, no, not put out of business. We hurt their budget a little because they make a lot of money hauling gas. They actually do not, there's no profit in gas. It's no exit. They get it all. The little guy at the shop, if he makes 5-10 cents a gallon, he's thrilled. It's all in trucking. It's a waste product. In the early 1900s, Ford was approached to Standard Oil saying, hey, we'll give you the money to build your foundry so you can own the engine and all the parts in that car, and you own all the companies involved in building your car, and nobody can control you. But under one condition, you have to make gasoline-powered engines for your car. We don't want steam engines out there. We want to get rid of all this gas we're burning at the refinery every day, because gas is a waste product. So is diesel. When old man diesel first came out with the engine, it was to run on veggie oil. It wasn't made to run on petroleum that you buy at a gas station. But we couldn't have that. We don't want farmers making fuel. That'd take away profit from the oil companies. A lot of people come to me saying, hey, you think we can get something? Well, sure. Hitler taught that in open schools for the public. Anybody who wanted to make a car or a truck to run on wood, coal, or anything you want of a smolder, even old tires, he would teach you for nothing. Because that meant he had more gas and diesel for his oil machine, for his machine to go to war. He wanted all that fuel. So he was willing to teach the people how to do it. He didn't have the geek, so he couldn't have zero pollution, but he didn't give a damn about pollution. So we have a whole world out there of knowledge that held back by people in power and greedy people who want to own it all. So we're going to put to the public, the book can be in your hands today. If you send the money by PayPal, go to my website, geekinternational.com. G-E-E-T, international.com. You can go on there. It's the first thing on the right side. There's a picture of the book. We just got our first edition of paperbacks delivered to our main office there. I'm not even going to say which state that's in. But the books did finally get there, and we have more coming in every week. The big book won't be done for another 3 to 4 weeks. But it's taken 37 and a half years to get there. Hey, Clay, you've been on the bus ride with me all the way.
Well, I'd like to... they found a new way to mess with me. Even drive to an expo. I can't drive to a exhibition, or I can't drive to a speaking engagement, because they've managed to block my license. Oh, gee, you didn't have insurance. Yes, I did. Here it is. Here's the paperwork. Well, yep. I'm giving it to you anyway.
Yep. Go tell the judge. Yep. Yeah, I fought the battle so often. I've gotten to the point now I don't even want to call it the cop anymore. I'd much rather just figure out better ways of cornering into your stuff, exposing them. We're going to be coming out with a new book here real soon, with names and all in it. I'm sure some of them will be very upset over it. That way, when you meet other people in business, the public can know who they are.
Well, they certainly didn't want me riding a motorcycle, so they figured another way to keep me from it. I'm just working on a series of short stories. I'm just doing short stories on there for my next book. I figured, here, you can have it in installments now, because I can use that book and this show to tell people about your book. This is your book's more important than mine. I'm just a little player here, and but your friends can take this recording off of Facebook. They can't block me in libraries on Facebook, so I'm using some of their materials against them. But you can pull the show off and share it with everybody, and then everybody can call you and order the book and start getting these devices for themselves. You want to give out some contact information now that I put a plug in for you here? Where do they get this?
We have people all the time calling me up for other inventors saying, hey, do you know so-and-so? Do you know Dingle? Do you know San Mosca? Yeah. Well, I can't reach them. They're dead. Oh, a couple of them are in prison. They make up whatever the heck they want and just throw you away. So if they want to pull your license, they pull your license. If they want to burn your house down, they can burn your house down. Who's going to stop them?
It's pretty hard to find an honest attorney. Doesn't really make me a lot of difference. I got a chauffeur. I got people around me that care about me, so I don't have to drive anymore. Maybe I'm anyway, you know.
Well, once I can get enough schools open so they're teaching the technology worldwide, I think I'm just going to shut my doors here because there isn't enough interest in this country, and I'll just sell the book and sit on the bench and feed the birds. Tesla had a damn good idea there. They care more. They'd like to be able to eat. If people would rather go out and party and have fun and go to ball games than worrying about other things. It's pretty sad.
Well, again, this is a program in here, you know. Like I said, they don't call they don't call vision programming for nothing, Paul. And
one of my employees yesterday told me something. I had to laugh, and I want to share it with you. He was at the rental office where he rents from, and he rents by the week. And he was paying his rent, and this other guy came in and said, "All I can pay this week is $20." And the guy behind the counter is looking at him. His wallet's full. He said, "You've got more money there. I mean, what's the problem?" He said, "Oh, I got to pay my phone bill, and I'm going to a concert. I've got to have the money for that ticket. I mean, that's a lot more important than paying a damn rent bill." I mean, if I heard that, I'd be changing the locks on a door real quick.
Yeah.
When going to a concert is more important than having a roof over your head, you've got a problem. I've seen that with alcoholics, addicts, and other things. Never people into music putting it that far ahead of everything else. But we all have our base and our priorities. And mine, for most of the last 37 years, has been teaching people how to build something that will work and lower their fuel bills and increase their income, spending that money, they get to keep it. And the more I help them, the more they want. And it's like, well, we don't want to buy the generator. We don't want to buy the plants and build the parts ourselves. Can't you just give us the kit or put it on our car for us? We don't have any money. And I'm sure you've had that one before. People pull up in their big, beautiful 32-foot or 38-foot motorhomes saying how broke they are. I'd like to help you, but I really can't afford it.
Right. Yeah.
How many boats do you own? Yeah.
Well,
they don't call it programming
for nothing. They've dumbed us down, and we can't work together yet. You know, I just played a clip yesterday from a black guy in South Central L.A. Paul, he made so much sense that I pulled just a quote from him, put it up on my website. Because he talk about common sense, and I thought, and they want to say I'm a racist. Somehow they want to convince you that I'm racist here. How in the hell can they do that? This guy is brighter than all of the people that I've talked to and got some of the same answers that I've been trying to tell people about. I've been able to talk to people. He's gone down in South Central L.A.
Yep.
South L.A. He says they got enough land down there for 50 Central Park. In vacant lots. He says, I want growing your own food is like printing money.
Yeah.
So he's got a crew working to go out on these vacant lots and grow food. But
if it's visible from the highway, the city will come in and nail you because it's against the law to grow food for other people without a permit. But they only enforce that when they want to.
I mean, you know, does money grow on trees? No, but money grows, food grows on bushes. Food grows on trees. Food grows in vacant lots. And, you know, I almost, he's talking about my Liberty Village concept. He's talking about my Liberty Village concept.
Yep.
And they had it nailed.
Yep. Yeah, I keep saying on the news, people are building these homes that you can put up anywhere and just pull around with a trailer or slide them onto a trailer or take them somewhere. Yet, I haven't found any place where you can set them up. I mean, there's so many laws against having things like that. It's pretty hard to believe it.
What kind of thing on a trailer?
The little homes people are building all over the place.
Yeah, okay. Tiny house
like
back into Texas to try to help build tiny houses 10 years ago.
Yep, and the ship's taking off now. What a novel idea.
And, you know, I've also got up on my Facebook, Free Emergency 9 site, I've got places where people are building horizontal gardens. You can hang them out the window and grow enough food to feed yourself.
Yep.
I told the people on the Liberty Village concept that if you can grow your own food and generate your own power, you don't need the governments or the banks for nothing.
Now, that's what we were starting to set up at the house I just got kicked out of, was a couple of growing rooms so that we could grow plants year-round and have our own vegetables and food growing all the time and have that as part of my school so people could see it. And nobody coming in was really that interested. Well, I go to the store and get it. It doesn't cost that much. Anyway, am I really wasting all this time trying to help people that don't want help? So now we're concentrating on the people who do want the help, and most of them are in foreign countries. The number of people I've had get a hold of me from Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Peru, all South America has just hounded me. But I was also on a TV special, History Channel, put me on down there in Spanish and Portuguese, and they broadcast it 50 or 60 times in about a four-month period. I can't get on TV here in this country because it's against the oil company. But down there, they want the people to have something that they can look forward to. And they don't look at DEET as competition because too many people can't afford to build one.
It's not competition. It's
in a lot of the countries in Africa.
It's
they don't even have power.
It's opportunity, isn't it?
But it's still in your programming. What you tell is what they're going to believe. A reporter once told me, he pointed at his lips, and he said, whatever comes out of these lips during the 6 o'clock news will believe. And when the government tells me to say something, that's exactly what I say. You'll never be on the news, Mr. Panto.
I wondered about that. They tried to paint it out that I was, you know, the worst thing next to Godzilla, how Clay Douglas started the militias. And yet, they never had me.
You hit one on the head there. One of the reasons I left Oklahoma is because a big magazine article has come out about me, 5 pages long, on the Southern Poverty Law Center magazine. And it said that I was training militants. And I had a gun tower on top of my house and underground shooting ranges and barracks. And I invited the reporter up and I said, why don't you look at the house, guy? It's a two-bedroom home. Yeah, it's a big two-bedroom home. So it's 6,800 square feet. So what? I like a lot of room. And because I teach, sometimes I can have 25, 30 students at my home at a time. So when you have a company that big, well, sometimes they bring their family. So you might end up with 30 to 40 people in your house. And can you get away with a two-bedroom, little tiny trailer? No. You got to have a big house. Yet they saw that as a threat. And the only way to take care of a threat like that, according to what they put in print, was you have to blow the house up while the people are in it. Like we did in Waco. So we're going to address this, is there?
Yeah, the works, the call-in numbers, if you guys want to call in, the call-in numbers, 213-325-3434. And Rabbi Ted, you're a liar again. It picked it up. I saw you come on the thing, and then when you saw you actually connected, you immediately hung up. So, you fools out there, none of you want to talk. There is no voicemail on Blog Talk, you dumb shit.
So if there's a U.S. Marshal out there anywhere that's got some cojones, please give me a call to go in and clean some house. It doesn't seem like local authorities want to do things like that. And it's going to take somebody that's got some clout. Some of the parties involved in this are over in Germany. Some of the parties involved in this last hostile attempt at taking over the company and shutting my doors are from Canada, Washington, Florida. I mean, it's a pretty good-sized group. And the idiots that were at the house were bragging about the criminal things they'd done. That's why I said, yeah, they still could be cops. I mean, civil forfeiture and all that stuff. Only in this case, if they didn't have their facts straight, they took stuff off the internet that was wrong, they pulled up reports that were wrong, and they used that as their reason for putting me out of business. So none of it made any sense, other than the fact someone wants me out of business. Now, was it sponsored by an oil company or a big rich person? Well, if you're going to spend $300,000 to get a guy thrown off his own property and threaten his life and steal everything he's worked for, man, you've got a lot of money to waste.
Well, somebody, that's one of the questions that I have. Somebody got me thrown off my property after they bought it. They bought it for $150,000, Paul, and I was going to use 50 of that to build the Liberty Villages. And then suddenly the lady that bought it decided she didn't want me on the property anymore. So she threw away $50,000. We would have had that would have increased the value of her proper, our property, if she'd been honest, to buy at least $100,000. And the whole concept of Liberty Villages would still work if we had an honest person that really wanted to do it, just like this guy whose video I shared yesterday. I shared his video yesterday talking about the gardens. Here's an black guy. Of course, they want to tell you I'm a racist. No, I shouldn't have a black guy. This guy's from South Los Angeles, and he makes more sense than a Joe Biden or Bill Clinton or just about anybody out there.
We have a new student showed up here the other day about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, just before I got shut down, and he showed up, bought the plans, bought a book, went home, thought about it, went out to the garage, and he built 3 engines in one day, a small engine, a lawnmower, and a car. And they all run fine. He called up now wanting to be a dealer, and he said, I don't think I want to be a dealer in the States. I'd like to have dealership licenses for other countries. So What countries can I go to? Now, he's lived his whole life in America, but he would much rather not feel I've gone through and what you've gone through. I mean, I saw when you first got involved with me, I don't know how many calls you made. You called person after person, all these companies. Would you like to see an engine that will run on anything? No. And they want to know if you were smoking something or drinking something.
Yeah.
So even today I get this. And that's not possible, or the oil companies and car companies would jump on it. No, they won't. They say that to the public to make you believe it. And if you want to believe it, go ahead and believe it. You can believe the Greenpeace and Sierra Club and Wilderness Club are all out there trying to help you have clean air.
And the cancer, National Cancer Association, is really looking for a cure. Yeah, you can believe that.
I was calling the other day, and it was on TV. Isn't the newspaper and on TV that 99% of the breast cancer women, if they just left it alone, it won't kill them, and they probably live a longer life. But no, they go in and they get chemotherapy, they get breast removed, and all of a sudden they die from other complications in the body, not the surgery. No. Yeah. So.
Wrong.
I suppose if you want to believe a doctor, go see
Lamborghini here.
Yeah, yeah.
I see doctors all the time. And when I see a doctor, I have fun with them. I start showing them things they don't know. And pretty soon they realize that what they learned at school wasn't right. So it changes their whole attitude about things. But attorneys, that's a whole different world.
Yep.
I didn't have my eyes open until there. Last go around there in Utah. When my attorney got up in front of me, and it's on tape and it's on my other website here, that the link is geekfriends.net. So my attorney said, Your Honor, I don't work for Mr. Pantone. I took his money. I were you and this court. I about fell out of the chair.
I've tried to tell people that the attorney does not work for you. But you mentioned the doctors. I mentioned cancer. And I also mentioned this black guy. His name's Ron Finley. And he's from South Central L.A.
Yep.
I'm not sure if that's different from South L.A. But he mentioned that while I'm getting some coffee here, Paul, I'm going to play what
yep.
he's got to say. That's really important. You guys have got to learn. You're sending money to John Hagee so he can send it to Israel so they can build more atomic weapons. Come on. We can produce all the atomic power plants that we want that'll never blow up. That use thorium. You don't need this.
Yep.
With Paul's devices, you don't even need the atomic power plants. And you don't need the gasoline engine. Well, actually, you can use it. I may have misspoken on that. But you don't need the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. Hang on a minute. Ron Finley.
I think this has to stop. So I figured that the problem is the system.
Hang on a second. This is a TED conference, TED. A TED conference.
I live in South Central. This is South Central. Liquor store, fast food, vacant lot. So the city planners, they get together and they figure they're going to change the name South Central to make it represent something else. So they change it to South Los Angeles. Like, this is going to fix what's really going wrong in the city. This is South Los Angeles. Liquor stores, fast food, vacant lots. Just like 26.5% of the Americans, I live in a food desert. South Central Los Angeles, home of the drive-through and the drive. Funny thing is, the drive-throughs are killing more people than the drive-by. People are dying from curable diseases in South Central Los Angeles. for instance, the obesity rate in my neighborhood is like 5 times higher than, say, Beverly Hills, which is like probably 8-10 miles away. Yeah, I got tired of seeing this happening. And I wonder, how would you feel if you had no access to healthy food? If every time you walk out your door, you see the ill effects that the present food system have on your neighborhood. I see wheelchairs bought and sold like used cars. I see dialysis centers popping up like Starbucks. And I figured this has to stop. So I figured that the problem is the solution. Food is the problem and food is the solution. Plus, I got tired of driving 45 minutes round trip to get an apple that wasn't impregnated with pesticides. So what I did, I planted a food forest in front of my house. It's on a strip of land that we call apartment 50 feet by like 10 feet. Thing is, it's owned by the city, but you have to maintain it. I'm like, cool. I do whatever the hell I want. It's like, since it's my responsibility and I got to maintain it, and this is how I decided to maintain it. So me and my group, L.A. Green Browns, we got together and we started planting my food forest, fruit trees, you know, the whole nine, for vegetables. What we do, we're a pay-it-forward kind of group, where it's composed of, like, gardeners from all walks of life from all over the city, and it's completely volunteer, and everything we do is free. And the garden, it was beautiful. And then somebody complained. The city came down on me. and basically gave me a citation saying that I had to remove my garden, which this citation would turn into a warrant. And I'm like, come on, really? A warrant for planting food on a piece of land that you could care less about? And I was like, cool, bring it. Because this time it wasn't coming up. So LA Times got hold of Eve Lopez, did a story on it, and talked to the councilman. And one of the Green Grounds members, they put up a petition on change.org. And with 900 signatures, we were a success. We had a victory on our hands. My name is Card, and said how they endorse and love what we're doing. I mean, come on, why wouldn't they? L.A. leads the United States in vacant lots that they actually own. They own 26 square miles of vacant lots. That's 20 Central Park. That's enough space to plant 700 million, 700 million tomato plants. Why in the hell would they not okay this? Growing one plant will give you 1,000, 10,000 seeds. Okay. When $1 worth of green beans will give $75 worth of produce. It's my gospel. I'm telling people, grow your own food. Growing your own food is like printing your own money. Thank you. I have a legacy in South Central. I grew up there. I raised my sons there. And I refused to be a part of this manufactured reality that was manufactured for me by school, and I'm manufacturing my own reality. See, I'm an artist. Gardening is my graffiti. I grow my art. Just like a graffiti artist, where they beautify walls, me, I beautify lawns, parkways. I use the garden soil like it's a piece of cloth, and the plants and the trees that's my embellishment for that cloth. I'd be surprised the soil, if you let it be your canvas, you just couldn't imagine how amazing a sunflower is and how it affects people. So what happened? I have witnessed my garden become a tool for the education, a tool for the transformation of my neighborhood. To change the community, you have to change the composition of the soil. We are the soil. You'd be surprised how tilted by this. Gardening is the most therapeutic and defiant act you can do, especially in the inner city.
All right, I'm going to stop that there. I mean, here is a black man from South Central, Paul, instructing us what life should be like, I think.
Yep.
Isn't that pretty incredible?
Yeah, well, I've seen the number of news articles where they've gone in and the cities and counties have sprayed poison. They've dug it up. They've come in with SWAT teams because they don't want you growing food.
Yes.
They can't support those big corporations that they turned all the ranchers over to. So the Bank of America and other big banks can own all the food and all the water.
The whole shopping malls. You could turn the shopping malls by letting the sunlight in, by putting the lights in. These shopping malls would be protected from the chemtrails, and you could put the poor to work in the shopping mall. How are you going to put the neighborhood to work in the shopping malls and have something that's totally different, something that's totally different, that's productive, that'll feed the whole neighborhood? Now, there's about six states in which this one company is going in and putting in greenhouses on top of the roof of the supermarkets. And so the vegetables you buy that day in your local supermarket was grown on top of your local supermarket and picked that day. This is just, what, a different way of thinking? Why wouldn't we be promoting this? And then we have the trucking costs. Now, I said I was doing my magazine now on freeamerican.com because I don't have to pay Hearst for trees to make paper. I make a paper magazine. I'll make it out of hemp, which can be regrown on a yearly basis. If I don't, I can put it up on the internet, and I don't have to pay Rockefeller for the gasoline to transport a newspaper my readers. Everything's up on the internet.
Well, when they raided my house this last time and threw me off the property, they walked past more money than they could ever dream of. As far as we were teaching people how to grow crops, they were right there in the open. I walked over the plants, stepped on the plants, didn't give a darn. We had ground up glass, because if you take glass in your neighbor, throw it into the cement mixer and in the right shape of metal with it, it will powderize it, so you can use it for reflective paint. You can put a coating down on your sidewalk, the proper mixture, it'll glow at night. We have beautiful sidewalks that glow at night, don't need outside lighting. We were coming up with about 50 new products, all from recycling, that we use in the neighborhood where the material is being recycled, and it goes right back to it. It wipes out the industry of BA and waste management because it doesn't have to be trucked. It's all local. People want to recycle. Well, they think the reason they put the stuff in those cans out by the curb, and it was in the paper the other day, they lost, I think, $4 million a month down there in Houston, and they were deciding that recycling just doesn't pay off. Well, now when you got expensive drivers and $400,000 trucks, no, it doesn't pay off. But do you really need a $100,000 truck? Well, we don't want them lifting anything. So they're going to go out, and one truck picks up just the cardboard or the paper. Another one picks up the aluminum. Why don't we have one can at the end of the block that when people are leaving their home, they throw the bag in the car, and they go down the end of the block, and they throw it in a big dumpster that can be picked up very quickly and a lot less expense. No, they don't use your head. But when you see I followed a bale, it was funny, in Utah, a bale of plastic that they baled up at BFI, or Waste Management, and it sat in the backyard. They said they haul it to the Bay Area, San Francisco, by truck or by rail, and then they sell it to Japanese or Chinese companies that want to buy it. They don't even move it off the dock. They let it sit there for a while, turn around, sell it right back to some American company on the other side of the country that has to have it trucked all the way back. And there was another company there that needed the plastic so they could make mud flaps for cars and trucks. And they were buying bales from the local broker who was getting them shipped in from Seattle, Los Angeles, the San Francisco area, all the way back to Utah, some other place. Where if they had somebody with half a brain, just driven 5 miles to the recycling center and bought the plastic. But they set up a system where it all has to be trucked and trucked and trucked, bringing the cost of fuel way up. We don't need to do that.
And again, this is just these politicians operating on ignorance. We've got the answer.
Yep.
And we've had it again. I've told you folks, we've had the answers for 100 years. They just don't want you to know about it.
Yep. Yeah, they were telling me, I might say when they robbed me the other night, they were saying, your technology will get out in 40 or 50 years when we want it to.
Well,
but it will not go out so bad.
You know, what I'm going to do, Paul, I'm putting all of this, I've told people this before, months ago. I told people I'm not going to use my magazine the way I've done before. I am going to write fiction from now on. Actually, I'm going to do a letter to the people. I'm working on that. You had one yesterday, and working on that. Just what I'm going. But I'm also working on fiction. I'm writing science fiction. Because what we're talking about here today is science fiction to most of the people out there, most of the listeners out there. They think... That couldn't be real. Just like when Robert A. Heinlein wrote about have spacesuit will travel, that was just science fiction. And people don't really go to the moon. People don't really go to Mars. Jules Verne wrote about tap down to the center of the world, Earth. People just don't do that. But they do, and they will. And what I'm going to be doing in this fiction, I'm probably going to be doing it chapter by chapter, because 45 years ago, I wrote a science fiction novel, pretty much a novel, about the United future when marijuana had been legalized. Couldn't get a publisher because they thought it was too far out, too radical then. Well, guess what? It's legal.
Yeah.
Almost 20 states now. I really wasn't writing science fiction. I was able to look into the future, and that's actually true. That's actually true. I said to myself, nobody I know has ever stopped smoking pot. They all liked it.
Well, the one, see, I look for the glitches. Whenever I hear something that I don't quite agree with, I'll look and see how could that play out differently. And when I first heard marijuana was going to be legal in a couple of the states, and when I heard it got legalized in Colorado, I sat back and said, oh, this is going to be hilarious. Because the feds are going to come in later with IRS and say, ah, you're not allowed to use federal funds or any bank to handle the money. That means there's going to be a lot of cash that can't go to a bank. Now, you're going to have new problems with people being robbed. And then at the end of the year, if they do a tax return and they say, oh, well, drug money is taxed at 90%.
What is it taxed at? What are they doing
because it's,
in Colorado?
It does. Well, right now, I don't know, but I'm waiting for that to hit the news. Because if it's against the law federally to have marijuana, but not statewide, and the state says you can, you're not violating any state law, but you are violating it. And the state's just saying, well, we have precedents. Well, no, you don't. You've given that up on every other issue. So now they're going to come back in and fight it and say, no, it's an illegally earned money. And if you use that money to buy other apartments or other buildings or other businesses, that's laundered money. So they're going to come in and start seizing everybody's property. How long will it take before the people start waking up and realize the state should have total control of what's happening in its own state, not the government? And if they don't stand up for it now, the government will take everything.
Well, we've been talking for 20 years about the New World Order and how it's a totalitarian type of arrangement. And they did it 100 years ago. Why wouldn't they do it today? And they're doing it today.
Well, I believe we first talked about that. It was about 35 years ago, maybe even 37. But I was at your house up there in, what is it, College Pines?
Pollock Pines, yeah, I believe it was. It was in Hangtown. I was in just outside of Pollock Pines, just outside.
Yeah, a nice two-bedroom hall or two-story home and a nice office downstairs. I remember sitting in there several times talking about how you couldn't even get that magazine to be distributed because you weren't paying off the right people, and you had to be part of the clique, and it's like, okay. Well, now we've got internet, so you don't have to worry about being part of a clique to get your magazines out. But you've got to hit a niche that they want. Now, I mailed my book. It would cost me $5 a book to $7 a book to mail it to somebody, but if you're Playboy or somebody like that, it's about 12 cents.
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it? We only want to help the people we want to help. We call the post office to pack the garbage off, and they say, so what? What do you want us to do about it? Well, isn't that theft from a federally? No, no, no. The post office isn't federal anymore. It's a private organization.
Is it now?
Well, it hasn't been for years. They're under contract to the government to deliver mail, but they're not part of the government.
Okay, don't know what that is, and they're going to watch it now. The black hole in the fabric of space and time. We'll check that out.
I prefer the white hole. I didn't want to say this on the air, but you know attorneys and sperm are the same.
What's that?
How is an attorney and sperm the same?
Slimy?
No. But one in a million is going to have a chance of being even. So you could use a politician instead of attorneys.
Well.
But that might be too risque for the show.
I don't know. Never had anything too risque for my show. But they do tell you if you go to the library that my site is porn, and there ain't no porn on the Free American site.
They were trying to explain that the other day, and I laughed at saying, I have kitty porn, huh? Now, if I didn't make kitty porn on any of my computers, it's because you assholes put it there. Because I've never looked at one of those sites in my life. So now that you've taken control of my computers, I know I can never use them again. I'll have to have a third party download everything on there to see what's on it. The rest that will be destroyed. And the hard drive will be destroyed when the computers are returned because I want all new hard drives. I don't want any chance of a bug being put in there by you guys. So I will get my equipment back. And what I'm saying, I got a gun pointed at me, and the guy's looking at me like I'm nuts. We're taking everything you have out of business. I said, well, I guess we'll see. So my goal right now is to see if I can find radio stations all over the world where I can do a radio station every day.
Well, folks, here again, here's what I've told you about. The one thing that we need to do is cooperate. We need to work together. You need to take this radio show and you need to pass it down. You need to send it to your local station. You need to send it to people. See how big your local station, your local desk jockey is. See how big his balls are. See if he'll run parts, clips from this show, and see if he'll have Paul on his show. Now, one of the interesting things, you know, is I got, now my book is Mystery Babylon, the New World Order Unveiled. And in that, I published in its entirety, the document by Colonel Edward Cotolo, a direct orders from George Bush, commanded an operation called Operation Watchtower. Operation Watchtower ran concurrently with Iran-Contra. It commanded by CIA Director George Bush and his flunky, Oliver North. And it was given to me, just a little strip of the document, that was given to me by a Vietnam veteran, Special Forces. He handed me this sheet of documents and said, "Hey, what kind of balls you got?" I took it home back to the tent there in Sturgis, South Dakota, and I read it. I put my wife and sons in the truck. I put my motorcycle on the back, and I drove back to Florida through Colorado, through the mountains of Colorado at midnight. And I stopped every few miles, got out of the truck, walked back, and sat behind about 50 feet behind my truck and waited. And I was fortunate that no farmer or rancher or tourist stopped to see what I was stopped for. If they had, I would have shot them. When I got home, I published it. And the first time I got threatened by the CIA. That Operation Watchtower document, I talked to the people that were there. I talked to the people it was written about. And it's the first time I got by the CIA. We're going to let you live this time, Clay. But don't do anything like that again. Don't do anything like that again. So what I did next was start the Free American magazine and radio show. But I'm still doing this. And I'm telling you, let's see what kind of balls you got. Pass this on to your radio station. Pass this on. Let them hear Paul Penn. Let them hear Clay Douglas. Somebody doesn't want them to reach you, doesn't want us to reach you, doesn't want me to reach you, doesn't want Paul Pantone to meet you. Doesn't want...
My biggest question all along, and it's not exactly what you're saying right now, is a lot of these people who tried to take over the company or throw them in jail have said the technology doesn't work. Well, if it doesn't work, why do you want to have a copyright so bad? Wouldn't that sound so valid? valuable. And why do I have people from all over the world who have sent me pictures of cars, trucks, helicopters, boats, everything else running with GD? Even a torch or two. So I thought, how come I could teach all these people from all over the world how to make it work fine, even with the free plans, which are the worst plans I ever had? But it barely worked. And that was enough to convince all those people they want to take time out of their life to build more geeks. Okay, you're exposing truth, and they don't like it. But if anything happens to you, they know dang well the other people are going to realize, hey, wait, Clay was telling the truth. Now, why does it take a disaster before people believe something? Can you answer that one for me?
I can't, because I've always known that you were wrong. I've watched it work under many different circumstances. I mean, and would you mind, are you mind letting people know that I even had you demonstrating your geek device in the Free American Prepared Boat right over here in Dallas? And Alex Jones was right around the time of you. Kind of interesting, isn't it, that Alex Jones has never had me on his show?
I have tried to get on his show, too, and still I can't get on. I've been on about four or five really big shows, and the problem was we got cut off the air, their satellites went down, and their computers went down before we could get to the end of the first hour.
Go figure.
And then they said, we'll never have you on again.
Jeez, why not? Now, I had... I was playing Bedini on yesterday, and suddenly Skype went out. So Bedini... Yep. His device works also. That's a Bedini SG. And in case you didn't know it, folks, the SG stands for schoolgirl who won all of the competition in her science class for presenting the Bedini motor. A motor that kept...
Well, the two boys down in Palm Springs area, back to, oh, God, it's been 15, 20 years ago, they were about 10 and 12 years old. They ran their engine on pickle juice. Now, ABC, the reporter there, didn't realize you don't cover stories like that. So he got a good close-up of it, and they put it on the news. And it made front page of the local paper. But the boys were told to tear the engine apart and never show anybody how it worked again, because it isn't using gasoline. Well, it doesn't matter what you pour in it. If you can have zero pollution, why aren't we looking closer at the technology? Well, it's because it offends the oil companies. And if it offends the oil companies, they tell the politicians to back off. Speaking of which, do you know how a politician and sperm are the same?
No.
Well, only one out of a million is actually going to be a human being. Sorry about that. We'll go on. Most of them take money for favors. And then they have to live up to those favors, which means putting people like me and you down at any cost. They cannot have the truth out there. The truth would shut down the oil companies. And I'm not saying completely. The oil companies do have some purpose. I just haven't figured out what it is. But if they just took the crude oil right out of the ground and we can get 45 to 90 times more energy per gallon using it in its raw form, it would make more sense that as a fuel than coal or diesel or any other method. Yet they're not interested in even looking at what we're doing. So if I can't do what I need to in this country, and I've tried for 37 years, now it's time to start in other countries and work backwards. And I've been told that over and over. You'll never get it to the market in the United States. They won't let you. Well, nobody told me who they were at that time. So I kept fighting the battle. And I'm not giving up. I'm just changing direction a little. It'll get here. If you want to see how bad it is, go online right now and type in cars that cannot be sold in America. The list is phenomenal. They've got all these cars in other parts of the world They can get 100, 150, 200, 300 miles per gallon, but not in America. That would offend the oil companies.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
So you don't have any callers coming in today, huh?
Now, yesterday was completely blocked, so people tried to call in and couldn't. And
yep.
That was when I had a Bedini, and BBC News, why can't this car? Let's do this. Ten cars that cannot be sold in America.
Okay.
Let's see. These are the top 10 cars that...
there's a lot more.
Yes, I'm sure. Here's a list in top 10 cars not sold in the U.S. And I believe this was 2008.
Okay. So this is pretty big when you get into it. Now, the funny thing is, and I haven't figured all this out yet, maybe you can help me on it, but we got guys like Bill Gates and other big money people that put money into new car companies when they're starting out so they can keep an eye on exactly when it's going to come to market. And they let all that investor money, which is mom and pop money, go to the company so they can go bankrupt. And the day before you're ready to start the assembly line or start delivery, the companies get shut down. They find something wrong with every one of them. So, yeah, we could have cars that go coast to coast on one car, but we don't want that. That takes too many of the oil companies. And we could have cars to the bottom mileage, but that hurts the oil companies. I was doing a show out of L.A. about 3 months ago, and while we were doing the show, one of the callers from Ohio called in saying he works for Volkswagen, and all of the control panel of blue go to Europe. All the control panels, CPUs that are black for the best market. And he asked his boss one day, why couldn't he get one of the blue ones here? And he said, oh, well, those get double the mileage. It's all in the computer setting. It's the same thing, but we set it to what the government tells us we're allowed to have for mileage.
Here's the Chevy Montana Tornado. Sold in South America, Mexico, South Africa, the Opel Corsa. And it's they continue the coupe utility cars. I don't want to say it. Okay. This is like the Chevy Camaro, but it's the Compara Ford Super Duty. It gets 1.8 miles per gallon. The Chevy Montana is a truck car hybrid sold in Latin America. Production started in 2000 and been one of the best-selling vehicle in its class. It's based on a design previously used by Opel. There's the Chevy Buick. It's marketed primarily, you know, like the Montana. It's a car manufactured by Opel. The sale is both sold and assembled in China, Shanghai, GM, where it's available as both a sedan and a station wagon. It's also exported to Argentina, where it's marketed as the Chevy Corsa. Of course, the Chinese marketed by Buick in 2005. It was rebadged with the Chevy name since it has enjoyed moderate success. It's got a $8,400 price tag, and it doesn't say quite how much it sells for, but all of these are selling for about, let's see what the video says on it. They're selling, they're running bucks a gallon.
Now, Volkswagen advertised a car, and the advertisement was banned in the United States that one of their new cars is going to get about 300 miles per gallon. But it can't be sold there.
300 miles per gallon, but it can't be sold here. Son of a gun.
Yeah.
That ought to outrage every American. But, you know, what I've been told about this whole energy device is when we were at that Tesla convention in Albuquerque, I asked people, why aren't you showing a magnetic motor? They said, because the feds will come down on us. It's a matter of national security.
Yep. The 1951 National Security Act, signed by Congress, banned all technology to be sold to the public, reviewed by military and Congress, and if they determine, any one of them determine it shouldn't be sold, it's national security and the inventor is not paid a dime. You know, my second wife, her and I were together, I had built a magnetic motor. I left it sitting on the dining room table running as it was only made out of magnets and pieces of plexiglass and a rod. That's it. And after 3 days, my girlfriend was all excited at first until she told her brother about it. And he called her back and said, if he doesn't get rid of the engine, move as quick as you can. Don't even worry about your clothes. Get out of there while you're alive. They'll kill you. So when I came home, she said, the motor goes or I go? Yeah, I can build a motor anytime I want. She was kind of cute, so I kept her around. But I do plan on building more magnetic motors and having them all over the world because having them just here in this country would be a national security issue. All over the world, so they're just common knowledge, would not be a national security issue because everybody has the same cards to play with. I don't want to put OPEC out of business. I'd like to teach them how to grow food. Bring somebody from South Central, let's go on over there and teach them how to plant food so they can feed their people. Because if you take away their only income, which is oil, they've got to fight and create war now to have enough money coming in to be able to buy food.
How's that biblical term go? Teach a man to fish?
Yep.
Let's say a man have to grow food. Teach him. Like the gentleman says from South Africa, from South L.A., that it's money. If we set up the mechanisms to handle that, we need to get them. We need to... We need to get the people in South L.A. some good shit.
Yeah.
And I actually mean that literally, you know. They need the good fertilizer and not this modified crap that's going to pollute your garden. You need to get that goat over there producing good fertilizer.
Yep. Yeah, I went to a holistic store here recently, and the doctor was on duty that day. And I met her, and we were talking, and she said, you have a horrible cough. Is that emphysema? I said, no, it's called valley fever. And if you've got anything herbal that'll help cure it, I'd like to know what it is. Well, we tried about five or six different things, and some of them are $40 for a little tiny one-ounce bottle, and nothing so far has put a dent in it. When I called CDC, and they told me, well, we're a private organization. We're not part of the government anymore. And we have a lot of people working on that, but they're all working for us out of Phoenix and Bakersfield because it started there, and it's a new mutation of a fungus. I believe it may have been caused by Monsanto and, of course, other products. We wouldn't want to point at anybody. And that particular strain of fungus, we don't have a cure for. So we're misdiagnosing people, telling them they have emphysema, COPD, the whooping cough. We're making up all kinds of stories that the people that are dying, we're putting different things on the death certificate so that it isn't blamed on any one company. Well, I asked him, well, what's the incubation period? I mean, how long does it develop? I mean, if you're saying this many people, 150 people a day dying, I mean, that should be in the news. He said, well, we don't really want that in the news. People might panic and want to move away from the San Joaquin Valley, where it started. It has now spread into South America. It stays in the hotter climates. But when the dust with those chemicals and fungus in it is tilled up by the farmers, if you breathe the dust, that mold fungus gets into your lungs and starts growing. It needs a warm, dark place. And it needs moisture.
You know, I just downloaded something to my page, and it's about these window gardens, hanging gardens.
Yep.
Soilless. They're growing plants, whole gardens, without any soil whatsoever. No dirt. Just taking moisture from the air. And, of course, you know, there are viruses that can pull the dirt out of the air in a desert and provide you water.
Yeah. Now, we had one gentleman came in to be a student of mine while I was still in Oklahoma, and he lives there. If he's still alive, he's a disabled vet. But he is one of the top experts on aquaponics. He teaches people how to build, turn your two-car garage into a growing room where you can have all the fish you want and plants, and it's all done with water, and the fertilizer comes from the fish. So it's all natural, and when you're all done, you've got good, healthy food to eat, and a two-car garage will supply a family of about eight with all the food they need.
Now,
so I thought that was a really neat idea, but they have to keep it underground, and they don't want to do things like that with building permits because the city doesn't want you groomed. Pretty scary.
Yeah, I want you to, one thing that I've talked about is that the whole Liberty Village concept that I have could be done, and I'm going to let you talk while I go buy a coffee, could be done on a city block. You could turn a city block into an urban farm, working together to provide your water, to provide your food, to provide your aquaponics, to grow your food. You could have them swimming around the whole block, fertilizing everybody's farm. It's just a matter of layout and design. We're not talking about any expense here. You don't have to build a 10-story apartment to do this in. Am I correct on that, or am I in a shop here writing fiction?
Oh, no. We can give you heating and air conditioning from the earth itself. We can give you the food you want. You can have everything and be totally self-sufficient on 1 acre. You don't need to have thousands of acres. The problem is, wherever you build it, they're going to pass laws later and come in and say, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, you're using minerals from the ground. You don't have mineral rights to your property, so you don't have the legal right to take minerals from your property. Anything you grow that you eat, you now have to pay a mineral tax. So every time people do come up with great ideas like yours and mine, the government would just pass a new law making it illegal. And they've got laws on the books right now that are absolutely insane, but nobody questions them. It's just like cars that can get 300 or 400 miles a gallon. Why aren't they here? Because people here don't know how to stand up together in unison and yell. How come the gay people got all the rights they did? Because they all got hit together and yelled. It doesn't take 80% or 50%. It takes 1% of the people to stand up loud enough to be heard. But here, it's getting harder and harder to find 1% that will stand up. You're terrified of their government. Sounds like the line went. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
No, it says I'm still hooked up.
That I had to warm the coffee up.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure
I understand that one.
But, sure, I had to drain the coffee out, too, so it took longer.
Yeah, I definitely understand that one.
But couldn't this, how do we put this together? If you, you know, I've got one guest that talks about a coil that's wound a little bit differently. And I said, could this is James Wood, and he's been on my show several times. I said, can't we get this here? Can you make an over unity device out of this? Oh, yeah, I can do that. But I won't do it here. Can't do it here. They'll kill me here.
Not in America.
And so he planned on doing it in the Philippines, where he had some funding, and, you know, occurs to me that you really, to get this book done, to avoid the threats, you got to do it overseas. Now, if we can do it...
Like I said, I got the book done. Volume 1 is out, it's ready, it'll be delivered today. If somebody will take it from me, I'll have it in their hands, on their computer, in a matter of minutes. As soon as I see the discount payment made, they got the book. But I have many other books I need to get out, and I don't think we're going to be able to get them out in America. I'm going to have to go to a foreign country for publishing and distribution.
Okay, I want it on the website by this afternoon as you send me the links and the PayPal link and whatever you need. I will have it up on my site tonight. And what I'm thinking, and what we're doing today is really important. We don't have to have, you know, people you say about Liberty Village, I can't come to Bingham, Clay. I can't move to Bingham. And they were afraid to move to Oklahoma City. Well, they'll kill me there. Fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm standing out here all alone in the middle of a foxhole waiting for them to try to kill me. I don't care. I'm not afraid of dying, and I'm doing the right thing, and, you know, that's it. Having you on my show today is the right thing. But
I appreciate that.
I want to get this to as many people, and if we can get enough support that I can travel, that I can promote you, that I can show in more places, I'm a good spokesman. I've spoken before hundreds of people. I'd like to speak before thousands. I'm not out telling you to go shoot anybody, don't do anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to defeat the New World Order by being more evil than the New World Order. I don't want that. And I've said, how do you fight evil without becoming evil? Well, this is the way you do it. And what I want to create I don't want to destroy. That's one of the things I've got against the so-called Jews, as Benjamin Friedman, who was really Jewish, as he put it. And Jesus, even Jesus told you to beware of Jews and say they're Jews or of the synagogue of Satan. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to hurt nobody.
I don't have a gun in my house or a slingshot or anything else. I teach. I try to teach people freedom, just like you do.
I don't either. They stole.
That part is, most people don't want freedom. They say they do.
Well, you got to work for it, because freedom isn't free. Now, if you can't do what I'm doing right now, if you can't get on the radio, if you can't get on the internet, if you can't book these guests, if you can't design this website, then make a donation. Then buy a book, order a book. Then maybe I've told people, Paul, I can't do what you do. And there may be somebody out there that understands what you do perfectly, me. So if we work together, somebody else can build this device. Somebody else can, you can let somebody else use it and use the money he saved to make a donation here to keep this alive, to promote the whole idea, the whole concept of freedom, of liberty. This is what I want. I want us working together, doing what we're supposed to do. Let's make the farm. Make the ranches. Go ahead.
My biggest goal was to get a ranch like I just had and own it outright, so I don't worry about somebody coming in and changing the lot again. And get security there, and then start building the Liberty Village behind the place, have all the different kinds of crops growing, have every kind of technology there, so that the property is not only self-sufficient, but able to sustain others from that location, so that we can have it open to the public, and let the public come in and see what, and they can go back and set up Liberty Villages.
Yes.
That's all they want.
That is,
I don't care what country it is.
That is exactly what I plan. I wanted to do a motel so people could come and stay at the motel overnight, eat in a restaurant overnight, see what good food was like, and watch a generator at work. That's what I planned.
Well, we were looking for motels when we got to New Mexico, and there was one that I think 6 or 8 stories tall, and they had $3 or $4 million with the liens against it because they got the thing half built, the contractor went belly up. But they would rather sell the property as a vacant land than as a hotel, even though it's over half built. That would wipe out all the liens. So the city was hoping to get it in their name first and then bulldoze everything and start over. And to me, that's like buying a restaurant so you can bulldoze it and put a new restaurant there. Too many times we do things